she be referring? The four top answers were, 81 people said Elvis Presley, 7 people said God or Jesus, 3 people said Martin Luther King Jr., and 2 people said Burger King. Well, it could be said that naming your king or your God defines your kingdom, the area, the domain over which your king or God rules. So if my God is money, then I live in the kingdom of greed. If my God is food, I probably live in the world of overindulgence. Luther put it this way. He said, whatever you would offer your daughter for, that is your God. Think about that. Whatever you would offer your daughter, your child for, that is your God. Well, today we are talking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven as we prayed in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God was central to the teaching of Jesus Christ, and it is mentioned dozens and dozens of times throughout the Gospels. Speaking in parables, as Jesus often did, he said that the kingdom of heaven is like this, and just let me read a few of them for you. The kingdom of heaven is like a banquet and a great wedding feast, yet the door will be closed on some. It is like a treasure hidden in a field, and you would be wise to sell everything you have and go look for that treasure in the field. A landowner who hired laborers to work in the fields. He hired them at different times of the day, but at the end of the day, what did he do? He paid them all equally. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that from a small, very, very tiny seed, a small beginning, comes a great shrub or tree that grows wildly out of control. And the kingdom, of course, is like yeast. It permeates all silently and pervasively. Well, besides using parables, Jesus often dropped comments here and there about the kingdom. He said the kingdom of heaven is hard for the rich to enter, that it must be received as a child, that we should seek it first, and then all of our worldly needs, such as food and clothing, would be given to us. He said that if your eye or your hand prevents you from entering the kingdom, well, then pluck it out or cut it off. And he said that a great reversal is coming. Harlots and tax collectors will enter the kingdom before the Pharisees. And lastly, before his crucifixion, Jesus told his disciples that he would not drink or eat with them again until he does so in the kingdom. That's a lot of kingdom talk, so what are we to make of these teachings? Well, I believe that what these point to are God's perfect heaven, God's perfect kingdom in heaven, and God's not so quite yet perfect kingdom on earth. God's kingdom is in heaven because God rules there. It is his domain, and it is a beautiful place because it reflects God's character and God's values. God's kingdom is a place of joy and truth and love and peace and eternal life. And yet we know that our kingdom, the kingdom of earth, is not quite there. Sometimes we see those things and sometimes we don't. Yet Creator God is also king of this earth. David in 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter, says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted, O Lord, over and above all." So isn't that the good news? That when we think or feel that no one cares, that when we think that no one is in charge, that God maybe just set the world in motion and then walked away. That when we turn on the news and hear yet of another bombing, a terrorist attack, of another abuse or injustice done, or when we walk through the hospital or the nursing homes and see the suffering and the dying, or we read the scribbled notes on the boards of the homeless and the hungry, we wonder, Lord, are you really there? Are you here in this kingdom? Well, it is then, I believe, that we begin to see the signs of God's heavenly kingdom breaking into the world through the power and love in Jesus Christ at work with us, in us, and among us. We know that the kingdom of God is here, and yet we also know that it is not all that it can be and will be. We know that that day is yet to come. So when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," yes, we are making a request, but we are also making a bold statement, and we are making a commitment that we will join God in, as John Ortberg says, making up there come down here. He asks that we do that, beginning in our own families, in our own homes, and then taking that out into our places of work, our schools, our communities, and then into our nation and into the world. Richard Rohr and William Willimon, in their book, "Lord, Teach Us How to Pray," wrote, "When we say, 'Your kingdom come,' we are acknowledging that faith in Jesus is not simply an idea or an emotion. It is a concrete reality in which we are to become part, or else appear to be out of the steps with the way things are now that God has come into the world in Jesus. Jesus has come, entered our world, and has made all the difference. And so when the kingdom comes, we are to repent, that is to change, to let go of our citizenship in the old kingdoms and believe in the good news, that is to join up and take part, to become part of the revolution that Jesus began. We must pray that God will open our eyes and our hearts to see the world in new ways, in new terms, not just in black and white, but without judgment, with a head and a heart that work together. Rohr, in a seminar he delivered entitled "A New Way of Seeing," states that both through the power of prayer and in our suffering, we become transformed. It is there that we let go of our ego boundaries and we fall into the mercy of God's unconditional love. And it is then that we, having been transformed, can live and extend that same unconditional love to others. In 1985, Karen Fox founded Adventures in Caring. It's a nonprofit organization founded to teach volunteers, nurses and doctors, anyone who deals with patients, treats patients, and is involved in caring for them, how to communicate with compassion. It just so happened that this came about as she was suffering, as she had just learned that her cancer had returned. So I want to share just a brief clip of that video with you today because it really shows us what it is to make up there come down here. And remember that this is through the heart of Karen, through her eyes, what she saw as a child.
I remember being at the age of 7, living with my mother and father and brother in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And I remember daily the cook's assistant, Askara, would be going to the marketplace. So I wanted to go with her, of course. So I would go to the marketplace, and my first adventure there was to notice that there were these naked men standing on the outside of the marketplace. So I asked Askara, "Who are they?" And she said, "They are the forgotten ones." And I said, "Forgotten ones?" And she said, "Oh, come on, come on." And I went ahead with her. But there was something so striking to me, because here were these three men kind of bunched together, two sitting on the ground and one standing up quite tall. And there was something about his eyes that just went straight into my very soul. So I went on in and picked up the fruits and the vegetables and we left. So the next day when Askara was going back to the marketplace, I asked her if I could go. And she said, "Of course," and it's very typical in Ethiopia, the women will wear baskets on their heads and they fill their wares, their fruits, their limbs for the fire, whatever, into the basket. So I put a basket on top of my head. But I had put inside my basket three sheets, three white sheets. So as we get to the marketplace, I told Ascara to go on because I noticed my three lepers there, the two on the ground and the one standing. So I walk over and I take my basket off of my head and put it down, and I reach in, take out the sheets. I put a sheet around one, I put a sheet around the other, and then I motioned for the tall one to bend down, and I put the sheet on him. And as I did, he took it, much like this cloak, and wrapped up all of his sores and ugliness. And as he did that, he looked right into my eyes, and here was a twinkle of a tear. So then he reached down, picked up a coin, walked into the marketplace, bought a piece of fruit, and gave it to me. And then he walked back out. So I hurried on and found Ascara, and we went back home. A couple of days later, my mother has pulled all the servants together, and she's saying, "Who stole the sheets?" And I'm hearing this, and I'm going, "Oh, Mommy." I knew that they would all get fired if I didn't get down there. So I ran downstairs and I told her, I said, "I took the sheets." And she looked at me and she sent me to my room. And she said, "I'll be in there." And boy, did I know what that meant. So here she came. And I got a whooping like you can't imagine. I'd stole the sheets. So I picked up my Raggedy Ann doll and I went into the closet. And I cried my heart out. I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And there I made a promise. I said, "God, no matter what anyone does to me, I will never shut down my heart."
No matter what anyone does to me, I will never shut down my heart. Those are beautiful words to remember. May we have that same courage as Karen had. It's amazing what she could do even as a child. I'm not sure, in fact, I know that I could not probably have done the same thing to go up to the three men who naked, covered with sores, and covered them with a sheet. Certainly an act of God. Certainly she showed those people the love of Christ. Together along with Luther, we pray that God will strengthen us and keep us steadfast in his word and in faith until the end of our lives. And so we pray together, make up there heaven come down here. And God is answering our prayers. I see God's kingdom breaking through in all kinds of places around here. I see your acts of love and mercy and kindness. You've certainly extended them to me as your pastor, your new pastor here of Congregational Care. As I come into the office in the morning, there's always coffee being made. Both of the Donnas welcome me. People are so kind and considerate and helpful and respectful. I see it in the smiles of the children here. I see it in the hands and the hearts of all you do to serve other people. And I hear it and I see it in your songs and your prayers. And so I see you joyfully serving, you making heaven come down here in many, many ways. May that continue. So may we continue with God's help to do that in all that we say and do and in our hearts as we believe. And may we continue until God comes in his glory again. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.